the thing that took me from mad to boiling mad last year and had me write a piece called White Americans and Politics of Race was a phrase that just blew the top off my head. Obama loves America like OJ loved Nicole.
Wow.
I couldn't talk. And as I thought about it, I said, you know, the person who came up with this was brilliant. Because in seven words, they tied a man who basically has a Cosby existence to the biggest boogeyman racially we have in this country, which is white women and black men.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They really did a bang-up job on that. But the thing that I looked at in that particular piece, what are we really dealing with? Because we started to demonize as black bloggers white Americans.
Yeah.
And it really started to work against the entire cause of collaboration, because without everybody working together,
right,
you wouldn't have this president. There are, as the title of this piece says, white people with good sense.
Right. Right.
And they're everywhere. They've come to my blog in droves. They've gone to all the places that I normally post. And it's almost as if they're waving to you in their cars with their comments.
Right.
Hey, I'm out here.
Right.
I am taking care of my kids. I am doing the things in the community that need to be done. I'm not one of those people who are out here trying to find problems where there are none.
Right.
We're boring.
Right.
So you probably
right,
won't
right.
see us on TV.
Right, right. Correct. But that speaks to another issue, Chris. The issue of the fact that these people are so scared, these people who are gnashing their teeth, who were gnashing their teeth over the prospect of their kids being indoctrinated again by the president of the United States, their fear of this man, their fear of black people, overwhelms any notion that they have that they need to have their kid in school getting the best education they possibly can. And in the process, we see other kids of color, you know, Asian kids, kids from Sri Lanka, kids from Cambodia, kids from India, just really flying by little Johnny and little Janie academically because they're in school and they take it seriously. But these people who want to pull their kids out of school because the president is going to address them, what does that say about their parenting? What does that say about who they are as parents, and what is really the priority in their lives?
Well, I think you saw in that same article, I had a statement. It's one that I grew up around. If you want to see where stupid
yeah.
children come from, follow them home.
Correct.
That's where they learn these kind of things.
Yeah.
The other thing, though, that I did want to do when I did that White Americans in the Politics of Race piece was some research, because we usually talk about this kind of thing emotionally, and, you know, if I'm talking about it, I've got a vested interest in my point of view. But I wanted to do something a little bit different to understand what the motivations were. These guys that wrote this book, The Black Rage and the White Mind,
mm-hmm.
Hintman and Rozecki, they
mm-hmm.
did a bang-up job.
Mm-hmm.
Racial animosity and racist behavior are similar but not the same.
Not exactly the same, right.
Racial animosity is persistent pathological biases that include stereotyping, denial, political rejection, demonization, and fearful, angry emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, everything you just described that you've seen on TV the last week.
Right.
Because these people are angry because someone is kind of pushing their button.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily racist.
Racist, right.
And the other thing about the word racist is such a loaded word.
Right. Mm.
I live in a white neighborhood. I live on the white side of town. I got buddies that I may smoke cigars with after we have this interview later on today that are white. And, you know, it's just the reality of the world we live in that there's certain words that we don't use unless we absolutely have to.
Right.
They're not, you know, thinking about using the N-word. I'm certainly not going to try to put them on the spot if it's not warranted.
Right.
But if there's someone who believes that blacks share such negative characteristics that they must be an inferior rank of human being, this is a definition I'm reading from that,
right.
that book I told you about, against whom discrimination is inevitable and justifiable, if that's the way that person is coming at the world, that is a racist.
Correct.
If there's no way that they could think of you as any other way than inferior.
Right. So what we're seeing, what we're seeing, Chris, over the last several weeks, I mean, all throughout August, is probably a hybrid between, or one or the other, of this definition, racial animosity, or racist, or exactly racist. When we see, because what I believe, Chris, is that people, you know, Bruce Wright, he was a federal judge in New York, wrote a great book, Black Robes, White Justice, and he spoke about the whole concept of blacks being not, it wasn't fashionable to call black people niggas anymore, but discovered a loophole error that allowed them to treat us like such with impunity. So now we find coded language. Instead of calling a black man a nigga, you call him maybe a fascist or a socialist, or you put a funny mustache on him and refer to him as Hitler. You say he's going to indoctrinate your kids. We've shifted the paradigm. We've shifted words around now because it is not cool, quote unquote, because now we've adopted this concept of the N word. So now you find other ways to alienate and disenfranchise people without being, so that you can, at the last moment, you don't have to be referred to as a racist. You can say, I'm not racist. I just believe this, that, and the other. When in reality, you know, being a black man growing up in South Carolina and me being a black man growing up in Maryland, we know what it is. But you're right. The word racist is a loaded word. It denotes the Ku Klux Klan. It denotes lynching. It denotes segregationists like Bull Connor. And nobody wants that label. But the reality is there are a whole lot of people that we've seen over the last month and over the last couple of weeks that really deserve that title.
Hate has no expiration date. You see on your food at the store.
Right.
Hate doesn't have an expiration date.
Right.
It lasts. Hope can fade away real quickly. It's a tender thing. But people who hate, they can pass it down.
You're right.
You know, but the thing is, these people are still worried about Osama bin Laden, but we know where Johnny Ben Hayden is. We see him on TV. The thing about the people who have good sense, who are white, black, brown, we generally have a sense of decorum that says we don't do certain things because we don't want to call attention to ourselves. We generally have a sense of understated, I don't want to use the word elegance, but an understated sense of dealing with the world. We've got to set that aside right now. We've got to take the bull by the horns and talk to these people who aren't exhibiting good sense, who aren't showing good judgment. Because this is our country.
That's right.
We are the real Americans.
On that note, we're going to end it, Chris, but that's real. This thing, you know, people keep saying ignore Joe Wilson, ignore the teabaggers, ignore the deathers, ignore. You're right. We can't ignore.
Absolutely not. Right. Absolutely not. Write those letters. Make those phone calls. Keep this internet hot.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris Broughton, the brown man working hard, thinking hard, the brown man thinking hard.
And working hard.
And working hard. Brother, thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Always glad to be here.
We'll talk soon. That was Chris Broughton. We're going to go to a break. You're listening to the WEAA Afro First Edition. Stay tuned.